A longtime Michigan political insider is launching a bipartisan effort to bolster resources for state legislators. The Strengthening Michigan's Governing Institutions Project is the brainchild of Republican operative and attorney Richard McClellan, who maintains that term limits and years of shrinking funds have left legislators with too few resources to do their jobs well. Mr. McClellan announced the 501c3 initiative last week. His group hopes to raise $500,000 annually through foundations, associations, and corporations. And to learn more about the effort, current state welcomes two guests. First, Richard McClellan, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
And we're also pleased to be rejoined by Lansing State Rep. Andy Shore, who is one of four representatives who have agreed to advise the group. Hi, Andy.
Good morning.
Richard, you say this effort is triggered by the combined efforts of term limits and shrinking shrinking government budgets. You call the state legislature dysfunctional as a result. Describe the kinds of dysfunction that you see.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, to make sure you have a problem that you need to fix. One of the most important things that the legislature does is the lawmaking. Drafting laws is really the critical function of the law of the legislature. It's a very technical skill. The Legislative Service Bureau, the drafting function has been substantially reduced with retirements, budget cuts. Secondly, you have to understand the policy behind the bills you're drafting. And we've really lost a lot of the experienced policy people that help the legislators. And you combine that with term limits, where people are only in office 4, 8 years, 6 years. We have seen the underlying institution diminish. Let me just take one thing, and then I'll try to answer it this way. Think about the Michigan-Michigan State game at the Big House or Spartan Stadium. We go to watch the players do their job, but it's this huge underlying group of people that really make it work. We need that same thing in the legislature. We need the people at the staff level. We need organization. We need talent. We need skills. That's been diminished. And one of the points we also make, and I'll be quiet, is having the legislative leaders participate in some of these national organizations. We have not been doing that for the last several years, and it really is critical.
How legislatively, though, in terms of laws that are passed, do we see the result in, are there too few laws being passed, or are they too conceptually too weak or watered down or not researched well enough? Which of those two, or is it both?
I would say rather than the quantity, it is the quality. Technical skill in drafting, plain language so people know what they're doing, so departments know what to do, and dealing with some of the very complicated issues. That's where we have a real challenge now, is a big, complicated legal area, to have both legislators that know how to manage that large an area and quality staff, both partisan and nonpartisan. We're focusing on the nonpartisan technical staff, and that's where I think we're weakest.
Andy Shore, you're serving as one of four advisors to this project from the State House. How do you see your role here?
Well, you know, I've been in office for 12 months, but I've been working with the legislature for, you know, 15 years. And there is definitely a difference now. It's much more different now than it was before term limits. You know, we're talking about technical expertise and things like that. Just yesterday, we passed a bill for the second time, fixing a law that we passed previously this year. So we, you know, you go through and you go through all the work we have to do on a bill, and it passes into law, and we realize, oops, we forgot a piece, or there's something wrong with it, and we have to go back and fix it.
Does that happen often?
Twice I can think of this year. We did it with Court of Claims, and we had a fireworks bill yesterday that we had passed. So I think it does happen more than it's happened in the past. Now, that's not to say, you know, legislators aren't doing their job. It's to say that you have somebody who didn't catch a piece of it until after it was signed into law, and now you got to go back and redo it. That's a result of having a nonpartisan staffer who didn't know the background, who hasn't been there as long. We've got reduced budgets. We can't pay people like we used to. We are losing our personal staff, our central staff, that's partisan, our nonpartisan staff. We're losing these folks to associations, to lobbyists, to outside the system, because we can't pay them like we used to. You know, I have a very limited budget in my office, so I can only pay my staff a limited amount. If they get better offers somewhere else, I tell them go take it, because I don't want to hold them back. Well, I'm losing experience, and we're seeing that throughout government. So this project that Richard started, that I'm happy to be a part of in a nonpartisan way, I think we can build that institution back up. If we're not going to change term limits, then we need to help strengthen the institution.
And Richard, you aim to fund this effort with foundation, association, and corporate money. Are the people you're approaching or will be approaching for help, are they already aware of these negative impacts, or are you on some kind of awareness-raising campaign as well?
I think the closer you are to Lansing and the more you're involved, the more you know you see the problem. But I think there is going to have to be some explaining. And one of the things we want to start to do is have some of the, say, philanthropies understand that what happens in Lansing, the quality of legislation, can affect the impact of some of their philanthropic work. If we do a better job drawing the laws, we may be able to have more of an impact. So some of it will be selling, but the people who've been around Lansing pretty generally have seen the erosion.
Let's assume you reach your goal, raising $500,000 annually for some number of years. Tell us about what would you do with the first $500,000 that you come into? Would you propose?
First $500,000, at least part of it, my task would be to get some people to look at the legislative drafting function in other states and what is the most modern, effective way to do lawmaking. The fundamental job of the legislature. Let's make it technologically sophisticated, substantively well-organized, help the legislators in a term-limited environment. And it's very different than it would have been, say, 15 years ago.
Richard, you've vigorously backed libertarian conservative causes for many years. You were a major part of the secretive Skunk Works project last spring. You run a dark money campaign organization. I have to ask, why should people believe that you have this interest in bipartisanship?
Well, I don't think some people will. My experience has been that those people who know me, I've been around 45 years in the legislature. When the Democrats are in control, when the Republicans are in control, I was special counsel to the Democrat Appropriations Committee chair in the House. So my real experience is much more bipartisan than the kind of press clippings that you can identify. On the other hand, I was very much involved in the indigent reform legislation. I'm involved in leading the effort for reviewing criminal sentencing guidelines. So I'm not all right-wing conservative, but I am libertarian. So I tend to have a lot of allies in the more progressive side of the room if you're talking about liberty issues.
Okay. Are you concerned that if you generate more funding from groups on one side of the political aisle, that could jeopardize your bipartisan intent here?
Yes. Yes, there's no question. If this were seen as some sort of a front group for, I won't name their names, but you know them, that would be my political friends. No, we wouldn't have any credibility. We are not going to do that. It just would, you would lose credibility, and Andy Shaw said it directly to me. If this were perceived at all partisan, he's out of there, and that's the end of that project. So we have a discipline that I want to maintain. A good example is the Michigan Political Leadership Program at Michigan State University. Been around for years, and it's always very, very well balanced, even though the participants are all partisans.
You know, it's funny. It's the same question that you ask. I've gotten asked quite a bit over the last, you know, few days. And Richard and I have our healthy disagreements on several issues. But the one thing you learn in Lansing real quick is you have to work. You work against people sometimes, and sometimes you work with those same people. And we may disagree on issues, and a lot of things you just mentioned that he's involved with, I don't agree with. But when he comes to me and says, I want to strengthen the institution, I'm on board. When he says to me, we're going to make this transparent. Anybody that gives money, we're going to put that out to the public. It's going to be transparent. I'm on board. Until I see that, if I were to see this is some conservative right-wing conspiracy to affect government, then I'm gone. And so is Representative Kinesic and any of the other Democrats. And then it has no credibility and it falls on its own weight. So that's, I'm involved because I do think we need to strengthen the institution. And I take Richard at his word. And if it didn't happen that way, then you'd be the first to know, Mark. You and your listeners would be the first to know, and we'd be having a different conversation. So I look forward to this moving forward in a bipartisan way. Again, we can disagree on issues at the same time, but we can agree that we need to strengthen the institution of Michigan's government. So that's why I'm looking forward to this. And I'm definitely sensitive to what people say is working with that McClellan guy. Well, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt here. And if it changes, then then you'll know about it first. But I'm looking forward to it.
We're talking with State Rep. Andy Shore and Attorney Richard McClellan about the Strengthening Michigan's Governing Institutions Project, which has just been announced. When all is said and done, are term limits worth it? Richard?
I've always been, I voted against term limits. I don't think they're good government, but they're a choice that the public has made, and I think they're not going to change it. So my goal in this project is to make the legislature work within a term-limited environment. If we can round up the votes to change term limits, I'd be for that too. But I'm not counting on it, and I'm counting on focusing on however long people are in. I want them to do a good job. If they're only there a year, like Andy Shore, he's only been there a year. He should be able to, and I think because he had a good background, he was able to probably be more effective in his first year than some people. So training people, giving them the skills, giving them the staff support, regardless of term limits or not, is my goal.
Are you basically in agreement with Richard on term limits?
More or less. You know, I put in a constitutional amendment to extend term limits. I understand why people voted for term limits, why they put that in. I think they're too short. You know, the most common thing I heard when I ran for election was, "You're running against Joan Bauer," and I had to say, "No, I'm not running against Joan Bauer. She's term limited." And people were stunned. "What do you mean she's term limited? She's only been there a short time." Well, she had been there for 6 years. I put in a constitutional amendment that would double it, that would give reps 12 years, it would give senators 24 years. I believe in that, but where I agree with Richard here especially is I don't think that's going to get a vote. I don't think it'll go to the ballot. I think if it went to the ballot, we would see a different result now than we did 20 years ago when term limits passed. I think people are ready for an extension because they see some of the problems in government are because of term limits, but we won't have a chance to see that because the speaker has indicated that he's not going to take up my resolution, it's not going to come up. So we have to work within the system. But I'd love to see term limits back on the ballot with an extension so people have more time to become experienced and to use that experience for bettering Michigan.
Richard, when you talk about term limits with other Republicans, how do they explain their opposition?
Well, I think many Republicans have buyer's remorse that supported term limits when it was first
really?
On the ballot. Talked to Governor, former Governor Engler, and I think you'll get that reaction. That was a proposal that came along at a period of time. There's always a tendency to think that some silver bullet will fix everything. The latest obsession is part-time legislature. There'd probably be nothing worse than to combine part-time with term limits, and then you would really guarantee an ineffective legislative branch. So I think term limits, one of the biggest dangers is too many people want to change term limits so they don't focus on other kinds of things that can be done in a term-limited environment. And that's where we're different. We want to fix and improve the quality of legislators however long they're in office and not waste a lot of energy on the term limits issue. Now, here, we've taken up a couple, 3 minutes on that issue just this morning, and that's the tendency sometimes of these conversations to lurch off into, just like when they passed term limits, everybody thought it would solve everything, now there's a tendency to say if we get rid of it, it'll fix everything. No, we've got a lot of other problems to address, whether or not we have term limits.
Richard, the governor's taken some heat for signing a campaign finance measure that preserves the anonymity of contributors to some campaigns. You, on the other hand, support the governor's move. Explain why.
Well, I really been since high school a sort of First Amendment person, and I have seen been involved ever since the first campaign laws passed. I did the first ethics commission for Governor Milliken way back. But I've come to understand that there is a distinction, and the law distinguishes between political expenditures and issue advocacy that has a political impact. And it's largely a technical fight over what should be disclosed and what should not. Yes, I am in favor of what is called dark money in certain circumstances. General, if you're going to give money to a candidate, you should disclose it. But if you're going to be involved in broad public policy discussions, disclosing your having to turn over all your membership records to the government and to the media is not something that I'm in favor of.
On Saturday, Andy Shorey, we want to make mention of an event that you were involved in. Get Covered America will be joining you, or you'll be joining them, I forget which it is, at a special Lansing Health Coverage Education and Enrollment Fair.
Yeah, I'm working with the Juneteenth Committee and Get Covered America. We're doing a Passport to Better Health this Saturday from 11 to 3. It's at Mask Memorial Church on 5601 South Waverly. I think it's going to be a great event for people to learn about healthcare and getting covered. So I hope folks will show up.
Okay, we wanted to make mention of that.
Thanks.
We got a little bit more time here, though. Richard, can you talk to us about who you'll be approaching, who you're talking with about support for the strengthening government governing institution?
Yeah, I think without wanting to name names of people we're going to be calling. If you look at the kind of public support for the legislature, historically, it's some of the large corporations have always participated with loaned executive programs. They support the kinds of effort we have. So there's a lot of that. Plus, the philanthropic groups in the state give away $1 billion a year. And we're going to definitely try to suggest to some of them that we could be, they could, particularly longer-term funding, so philanthropy, wealthy individuals, and the corporate community, and the labor community.
How often, Andy, will you be participating in gatherings here associated with this?
As often as I can, as often as I can, within my schedule. I know a variety of folks are getting together tomorrow morning, just to talk about it as an advisory committee to meet with Richard and to chat about some of the options. I actually can't even make that, but I'm going to sit with some of them afterwards to chat. I'd like to be helpful as an advisor. I don't know if I'm going to be part of the day-to-day, but wherever I can be helpful. I don't want to, as an advisor, you don't want to be part of the making the sausage necessarily, but I'm happy
You're involved enough in that.
That's right. But I'm happy to talk to people, and if, on my side, let them know that it makes sense to put in some money for this, wherever I can be useful.
And are there more than the four state reps that I alluded to earlier involved? I assume there's a senator or
Mark,
two?
Mark, we're going to, I'm going to have two meetings tomorrow. One of them is to show the House advisors this list of really extensive list of former legislators, community leaders, and others that we can broaden this advisory board. So we're going to be trying to make that selection as soon as I get back from Antarctica.
And you leave for Antarctica on Friday?
Friday.
Okay. Going to go warm up down on the southern end of the globe. We've been talking about the Strengthening Michigan's Governing Institutions Project with its originator, Richard McClellan, also State Rep Andy Shore, who is one of four representatives agreeing to advise the group. Thanks to both of you. Good luck.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.